2024 treating so far? Do you have good expectations for this year?
Yes.
Amen. I like what Pastor's been talking about this is God will do a new thing. He's going to do a new thing. That was in Isaiah 43:19. Behold, I will do a new thing. So you should be expecting that. Even if your life's been great, God's got better. Amen. Praise God. Well, Pastor, this week he is representing. He's representing you in California at the camp meeting. So that's what's going on this week. And he's going to receive impartations there, and he's going to bring it back to us.
Amen.
Amen. And if you want to stay up that late, then you can watch the meetings. They're live streamed if you can stay up late. All right. Okay. We have on the back, every year we do the personal saying list for the year. And the copies of this are on the back table. So you can pick them up on your way out. And I just want you to think about this, that nothing's going to happen if you don't do anything, right? Yeah. Successful people are proactive with what they want to accomplish.
Right.
Yeah. Amen. I like... Terry Savelle, I was watching her thing. Yeah, Terry Savelle, Foy, is that how you say it? She said, don't shrink your dream, enlarge it. Sometimes we get in our head, well, I don't see how this can be accomplished, or I don't see how this can happen in this amount of time. We're limiting God to our own thinking.
Right.
Yeah. Right. The answer is not to shrink it. The answer is to enlarge our faith.
Amen.
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 Praise God. So I want you to take one of these. Pray over it. There's some things for the church for this year that we want your faith.
Amen.
We need your faith for the church, but then also for you personally. You should set some goals for yourself and not those things that you know you can accomplish without God's help.
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. So that's that. And yeah, praise God. Hallelujah. Well, I've already prayed. I've already prayed. God's enabling me this morning to say what I need to say, and he's going to help us. Amen. So, Pastor has been, he's given us a glimpse, a little bit of a glimpse of what 2024, what God has for us as a church family this year. Amen. And he's going to share more in upcoming services when he gets back. But what he has said is that 2024, he believed the Spirit of God told him that 2024 is a year to come and a year to go.
Right?
Right? And he has expounded on that a little bit, but it's not getting any easier out there in the world. And the Bible says it's going to grow darker and darker, but not for us. Not for us. Not for the church. It should get brighter in the church. Amen. There should be a greater distinction about what's going on in here and in your lives versus the people that are living in the world.
Amen.
Amen. And so, but we need each other. This day calls for a closer connection to your brothers and sisters in Christ and to your local church. It's not a time to disconnect. It's not a time, but it's a time to strengthen your connection. And he's gone over that a little bit. I just want to hit on it a little this morning before I go further on it. Turn over with me to Hebrews 10. There is family here. We're a family.
Yeah.
There is support and encouragement. Maybe your natural family, or maybe just the people that you work with, or your friends. Now, if your friends are like this, you should get new friends. But, you know... You may be in a situation where the people you're surrounded with on a day-to-day basis are not an encouragement to you, but they're just a drag on your faith, right? You need to be here. This is the place where you can get that encouragement. And we should endeavor to be people that are going to be ones that are that encouragement to somebody else, right? Okay, so Hebrews 10, you're there, I'm not. Verse 23, it says, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. Meaning, it's not going to be necessarily easy to keep the faith. right? This says we're going to have to hold fast for it. We're going to have to contend for it. All right? In verse 24, let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. So this is not a time to back up. This is not a time to withdraw. It's a time to press in further. And this, what stuck out to me when I was reading this yesterday a little bit more is in verse 24, where it says, let us consider one another. In the context of not forsaking the assembling of ourselves. You know, it's not just about you. Your presence here is not just about you. This says we should consider one another. Meaning my presence here, it may be a help to somebody. Your presence here, maybe it helps to somebody. You could be the bright spot in somebody's day. You could be that word of encouragement. You could be that answer. Amen? You could be that friend that somebody doesn't have. You know what I mean? You could be the reason someone says, you know what, I think I can do it. I can do this, right? I can do this Christian life. I can live the way God wants me to live. So it's not just when we come together, it's not just about us being equipped. And that is what it's about. We are to be equipped for the work of the ministry, each individually. But it's not just about that. It's about your relationship to the other people and how your life, what's the word? Symbiotic. Your life affects other people.
Yeah.
And it should be for the good. Amen. Here in this church, because we need each other. Yep. Amen. Praise God. So, you know, you can't do that. You can call somebody on the phone. It's not the same.
Right.
It's not always the same. Okay? This is indicating we do this by coming together.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Amen. So it is important that you're here. And you have an important place here. Look over in 1 Corinthians 12. I'm just hitting on a couple of things before I move on. Well, this is the message we've heard a lot. I think we've heard it a lot, but you could be sitting there thinking, wow, I've never heard this before, even though it's been preached on 20 times. And that is how it happens sometimes. We can hear the same message over and over and over. And then one day, it's like, oh, wow, I've never heard that before. That's happened to me too. 1 Corinthians, I just want you to know you're important.
Yes.
You're important in what God wants to do in this church.
Yeah.
Not just in this church, but you're important for what God wants to do here.
Yeah.
Amen. So 1 Corinthians 12, I'm going to paraphrase some of this, but starting in verse 12, it says, for as the body is one, it has many members, but all the members of that one body being many, our one body, so also is Christ. Now he goes in here, verses 13 through 17, basically saying, you know, if you're an eye, be an eye. Don't say, I want to be a finger. If you're if you're a nose, don't say, I want to be the kidney. Don't complain about what God made you to be in the body, because we know everything is important. And you know what? Don't think you're better because of what God called you to be. No part of the body is insignificant.
Right.
And we know this. I know this. Look. Do y'all see the heel of my foot? Can you see it? No. You don't see it? You don't see it. But let me tell you, that heel's important. Because I had a pain in this heel, and now this heel wants to tell me every time I stand up, you're not going anywhere, okay? So the rest of you cannot see my heel, but it is important. And, you know, the more something hurts, actually the more important that part is, because it's like screaming at you, right? So, look, whatever God made you to be in the body of Christ is important.
Amen.
It is important, and we should recognize that about each other.
Amen.
Amen. So, it's important this year that you just renew your commitment. Right, it's a new year. Forget about the past. Forget about last year. Forget about how great your church attendance was last year. Forget about how bad it was last year. Okay? Forget about... Just move on.
Yes.
Just move on. Make a determined... All those things you want to be that in 2024.
Amen.
Amen. We've been talking about the prodigal returning. And that is what we want in this church.
Yes.
And we want to be a place where those people are welcome.
Amen.
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 And so 2024 is a year to come.
Yes.
But it is also a year to go. And I heard Pastor Nancy say that every believer, every single believer, has two ministries. One inside the church and one outside the church. And so, yeah, you are called to the ministry. Amen. You are called to the ministry. Inside this church, and we've talked a lot about this, your ministry, you're to bring your supply, right? You're to bring your faith.
Amen.
You're to bring your gifting.
Amen.
You're to bring your help.
Yes.
Amen. Praise God. We've talked all about it. But outside the church, you are called to the ministry of reconciliation. I said, what? You know, what do you mean? What is that? What, the ministry of reconciliation. So we're going to talk about that a little bit today. That's what I want to talk about in our remaining time. The ministry that you're called to outside of this, outside the four walls of this church, is the ministry of reconciliation. And so let's go over to 2 Corinthians 5. Are you interested to know about this ministry you're called to?
Yes.
Are you interested to know how you can be, you know, doesn't everybody want to live a life where you get to the end of it and you can say, you know, I feel good, you know, I feel good. I feel like I made an impact on someone's life. That it was not just about you. That you impacted somebody in some way. And that's what it's all about. Let's see, 2 Corinthians 5, verse 14. And this is going to talk about the ministry of reconciliation. For the love of Christ compels us. I want you to think about that word, compels us. Because we judge thus, that if one died for all, then all died. And he died for all. Talking about Christ, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and rose again. Therefore, from now on, we regard no one according to the flesh. Even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, and now we know him thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, so if you have made Jesus your Lord, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. Listen, you, whether you like it or not, you are a representative
Amen.
Of the kingdom.
Amen.
You are a representative of Jesus.
Right.
Now that should cause you maybe to think about your actions, your words, how you're conducting yourselves out in the community, because you are a representative. What kind of representative do we want to
Amen.
Put forth? For Jesus. Amen. Nobody's perfect, but listen, this should be something in the back of our minds when we're conducting ourselves in the world, on the job. We're a representative. And it says, as though God were pleading through us. The word of God, the ministry of Jesus through your mouth to somebody may be the only one they hear. So this is as if God is pleading through you. God is using you to plead, like, come to me,
yeah.
right? Verse 21, for he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. So, praise the Lord. That's a lot of words. In the Amplified, the 18th verse of that reads it like this. But all things are from God, who through Jesus Christ reconciled us to himself, received us into favor, brought us into harmony with himself, and gave to us the ministry of reconciliation, that by word and deed we might aim to bring others into harmony with him. So, praise God. That's what that means. Now, I don't know where I'm way off my notes here. But reconciliation basically means a restored relationship. In a simple way, modern day way to say it, it's a restoration of a relationship. Now, Christ, he reconciled us, right? He reconciled us. He reconciled the whole world, if they would just believe. But the ministry of reconciliation is you taking that to your world. You taking that to your sphere of influence, and your aim is to bring others into that same experience. Amen. That is the ministry of every believer, Amen. Is to bring others into the same experience. I mean, are you not blessed? I know we have troubles. I know we have problems in this life, okay? But if you know Jesus, at the very most, you're going to spend eternity with him. Amen. No matter whatever's happening here, whatever your life here, it's eternity you're with him. Okay, but that's not everybody's testimony right now. Some people are on the way to hell. Okay, and your voice in their life may be their only option. They may never step foot in a church.
Amen.
And so I'm gonna kind of hit some bullet points. To kind of simplify this message, you know, when you're ministering to other people. So just some things that you might have an opportunity to say to them. I mean, number one, it's, okay, the penalty of sin is death.
Amen.
According to the word, the penalty of sin is death. And that includes physical death, yes, but that is eternal separation from God. Our time here on earth is the smallest snippet of time we're ever going to live.
Right.
Okay, so the penalty of sin is death. Amen. But what did Jesus do? Jesus, God's only son, he came to earth. And he lived as a man, but without sinning. And so because he did not sin, he was able to pay the penalty for you and I.
Right?
And he did. He paid it for the whole world.
Yes, he did.
And he could do that. He could be our substitute.
Yes.
Because he himself did not sin.
Amen.
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 But this story didn't end there, did it? It did not end there. No, it did not. He was buried. But, you know, he did not stay there.
Amen.
Death could not hold him in the grave. He rose again on the third day.
Yes.
And where is he now? He is seated at the right hand of God.
Yes.
I want to, and I'm just reading these passages. I mean, you should get excited. You should get, turn to Colossians 2. If you're not excited about it, no one's going to be excited about it that you tell. If you said, I ate at the best restaurant I've ever eaten at in my entire life. That filet was so good. I think you should go there. Do you want to go to that restaurant? No. Colossians 2. So good. If I could only get there. Okay. Verse 13, it says, and you, being dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh. Now, we were dead in sin, right?
Right.
Okay. He has made alive together with him, having forgiven your trespasses, having wiped out the handwriting of requirements that was against us. He did that by being our substitute. He has taken it, he's taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. But like, this is good. Verse 15, having disarmed principalities and powers, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in it. So he was crucified. He was punished. All the sin of the whole world was put on him, and he was buried. And the devil thought, you know what? Had the devil known, the Bible said this, if the devil had known what he was doing when he allowed Jesus to be crucified and punished, he would never have done it. He would have never done it. Because not only is Jesus seated with him, we are seated with him. We are seated with Jesus in heavenly places. Praise God. Had he known, he would never have crucified Jesus. Because, I mean, it's just funny. I mean, like he went to hell. Jesus did. He went to hell. He couldn't stay there because he did not sin. But he didn't just leave. No, he made a public spectacle of him. He took the keys of death, hell, and the grave. Amen. Praise God. Now this is, you should be excited about this. These are the things you should share. This is why people should want to live as a Christian, because there's victory. This is victory.
Amen.
Ephesians 1. If you as a Christian want to establish yourself in life, what God has provided for you to live, you should meditate in these yourself.
Yes.
Amen. Ephesians 1, verses 17. Because there's not really even a good place to just jump in, but I'm going to. Because the entire Ephesians 1 is amazing. Ephesians 1, 17 says that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you this. These are prayers that you can pray for other people, but you should pray them for yourself. Paul was praying this for the church, that he would give, that God would give them the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, that the eyes of their understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power towards us who believe. This word just really gets even better. According to the working of his mighty power, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places. That's where Jesus is when he raised him from the dead. Listen, he's far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. There is no name, no nothing that's not beneath his feet. And he put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things in the church, which is his body. We're the body. The fullness of him who fills all in all. And you he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins. Go to chapter 2. But God, he didn't just stop there. No. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. But look here. He didn't just raise Jesus up. Verse 6 says, he raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. That in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. Listen, the Bible says, as he is, so are we in this world. As he is seated right now in heavenly places far above all principality, power, might, and dominion, all things under his feet, victorious over all, so are we in this world. The ministry of reconciliation is you. This what we're doing right here. Just letting people know what is available to them.
Yes.
Letting people know what Jesus did for them.
Amen.
Amen. This is reconciliation.
Yes.
Once man had a relationship with God, but man sinned and blew it and no longer had a relationship, Jesus made a way that man can have a relationship again.
Amen.
And I would say their relationship's almost better now because, I mean, we're seated together in Christ. We're seated in heavenly places with Christ. Amen. We're, you know, once we were beggars, now we're children. My children, for the most part, have access to everything in my house.
Yes.
But they have access. God's given us access.
Yeah.
Everything that belongs, everything that's in Christ, it belongs to us.
Yeah.
That's healing, provision,
yeah.
direction,
yeah.
relationship.
Yeah.
All those things, it belongs to us in Christ.
Amen.
We have authority and power.
Amen.
Amen. If you believe.
Yes. Right.
And here it is. This is what it is. You present this, the good news, this good news, all this wonderful news I just shared with you.
Yes.
You present it, and it's if they believe, right? If you believe. Romans 10:9, it says that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved.
Yes.
That's what the word says.
Right.
You know, we don't have to feel like it. You know what I mean? We don't have to feel. Feelings have nothing to do with it.
Amen.
The word says, if we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved.
Amen.
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 So your ministry outside the walls of this church is to share this with other people.
Amen.
Why would you want to keep it? I know nobody in here I know would say you're trying to keep that information from people. So what would keep you from sharing this? What would keep you from walking this? You know, sometimes it's easier to develop our ministry inside the church than it is outside the church.
Yeah.
Because this is a safe place. It should be. It should be.
Right.
Don't anybody in here be making it not a safe place. It should be a safe place, and people love us here.
Amen.
So it's easy to develop in that.
Yeah.
Okay. But it can be intimidating to other people that you don't know, or people that you do know, but you know they're not Christian or whatever. People have opinions, don't they? People have opinions. They're set in their ways. Something. But listen, like I said, they may not hear it from anywhere else. And so one thing you just need to lay aside your pride. Because really the reason why we wouldn't share it with somebody else would be like fear or pride.
Yeah.
And pride cares about what other people think about you.
Right.
So you just need to get an I don't give a rip attitude.
Right.
You know, generally I don't give a rip. But, you know, when generally I don't. But I can see how, like, even me, you know, just my opportunities may be different than your opportunities.
Yeah.
But even then, you should always be looking. I don't care what we're doing. Like, if I'm traveling to the airport or I'm going, your day should start with just kind of the, God, make me aware of opportunity. You don't know when those opportunities are going to come up, okay? But you should just don't be concerned about what people think about you.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. And don't be afraid of rejection.
Yes,
sir. Psalm 118:6 in the Amplified, it says, the Lord is on my side. I will not fear.
Amen.
What can man do to me?
Amen.
What can man do to you?
Amen.
I mean, if the worst thing they could do is, you know, end your life here on earth. But, I mean, you're going to heaven. You're going to heaven.
Yeah.
I mean, that's not ideal. But what can they do to you?
Amen.
I mean, they can't eat you. That's what Marty Blackwell said. The debt collectors, he was, you know, all that. Y'all know the story kind of. But yeah, they can't eat you.
Right.
They can't. We're not, there's no Aboriginal tribes here, I don't think. But. I said they can't, but you know. Anyway, what's the worst that can happen? And you can't mess someone up this on their way to hell. You can't. Don't wait until you have all the answers. Sometimes we think, oh, I need to arm myself. I need to have every answer to any kind of question they might ask me. And yes, we should study. We should be a student of the Word. But, you know, and God expects us to. But don't wait until you have all the answers. You may not have another opportunity with that person. If you sense by the Spirit this is an opportunity, you should take it. Even if, like, you're... I think I've given this example before, but when I was at OU, I'd go to eat lunch at the student union every day, and this one guy started coming, and he would just, it wasn't weird, so Chris is going to watch this, he's heard the story, it's nothing weird. He came, and he would sit down and start talking. I mean, maybe he was trying to chat me up, I don't know, but it doesn't matter. It was a friendly conversation, but I could tell from conversation he was, I don't know if he was an atheist or agnostic or I don't know, I'm sure, I don't know what he was, but I know he was not a Christian. I think he kind of studied different religions and all of that. He was nice and all of that, and we, you know, Christianity came up, and I would say something, you know, put a little nugget in here or there, whatever. But I sensed that, because he did that for several days, you know, like, I got excited about, maybe I can win him to the Lord, you know? But instead of just having that conversation right then and there, because I sensed that there was an opportunity, or at least one that I should, maybe he says no, okay? But I sensed I should witness to him more about accepting Jesus. But in the back of my head, you know, I needed to have all the answers. So, my plan was to go home. And this is what I did. I went home that day, later that day, and I made a little cheat sheet thing, you know? And I wrote down all the bullet points of why someone should be saved and how to lead someone. I wrote it all down. You know what? I never saw him again. That opportunity passed me by. And maybe I said something to him that caused him later on to you know, explore more, or maybe, you know, hopefully I'm praying God sent somebody else across his path. But I still think about that to this day. Like, when we're talking about this, that is what I think about. I think about missed opportunities. Okay? You may never have another opportunity with that person. Amen. Remember, this Christian life is not me-centered. A lot of times we get wrapped up in our own problems, our own needs, all that we lose sight. We get so inward focused. So, and a lot of times our help, like for healing or just deliverance or whatever, sometimes our help comes when we're in the process of helping somebody else. When you get your eyes off yourself and help someone else, yours just seemingly gets resolved without doing anything. Amen. I mentioned this, but be led by the Spirit when ministering or witnessing to others. Amen. 2 Corinthians 5:18, you don't have to turn there, but it's in the Amplified, it says, he gave us the ministry of reconciliation that by word and deed we might aim to bring others into harmony with him. I like that, by word and deed.
Right.
Sometimes you need to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. How am I going to witness to them right now? Is this a time to witness by saying something, or is this a time to witness by action? So the ultimate aim is to bring them into the saving knowledge of Christ. So you may need to be an example of God's love to someone before they're even interested in what you have to say.
Amen.
Amen. And so we need to be led by the Spirit in these moments. Okay? What do? You plant the word. You plant the word. Just even the simple word, all, you know, those who confess with their mouth and believe in their heart.
Amen.
That Jesus was raised from the dead, that person will be saved. You know, the word is not a tool necessarily, like my pen is a tool.
Right.
Yeah. Right? The word is alive and active.
Yeah.
Right.
According to Hebrews 4:12. So it's going to do a work long after you're gone. If I lay my pen down, I lay my mic down, whatever, it's done working until I pick it back up again. But the word of God, once you plant that word, it's like, okay, the switch is turned on. You know what I mean? That word's going to work in that person even after they're out of your presence.
That's good.
So plant the seed of the word. And you may not immediately see a result, but that doesn't mean it's not working.
Right.
Amen. Amen. Share your testimony. Sometimes your witnessing to them could come just like you're having a conversation and you try to maybe work it around to, you know, what God's done in your life. Amen. And live your life in such a way that people can see that there's a change. That they knew the old you, but now, man, your life is different now. Mm-hmm. And what happened? You know, and you can tell them what God has done in your life.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. You're a living billboard.
Amen.
For the kingdom of God. And be a bringer. You may not have all the answers, and you may not know what to say, but you bring them to church. Yeah. Invite them to church. Remember Dr. Dufresne and what is it, Billy Frazier?
Yeah.
On the construction site? He invited Dr. Dufresne to church for like a year, every day on the construction site. And he would get so mad. He's like, oh, you know, he probably cussed him out. I don't know if he did or not, but I would say he probably did. Like, leave me alone. Until one day he said, you know, if I go to church with you, will you just shut up about it, you know? And he's like, yeah, I'll do that. And I mean, Dr. Dufresne got in that service, and it was probably something like ours, you know? Some Pentecostal church, and some woman, it was a husband and wife team, I don't know who stood up, I think the man or somebody, stood up and gave a tongue. Was it the woman or the man? It was the woman, stood up and gave the tongue. Now listen, somebody who doesn't know anything about church, you bring them to church, and somebody stands up here and gives a tongue, y'all are going, oh, yeah. What are you doing? But the woman stood up and said, today is the day of salvation. Mm-hmm. Now, Dr. Dufresne didn't understand what just happened there, but he said the hair on the back of his head just, ooh, like he knew something supernatural just happened here. And he got saved that day.
Amen.
Bring him to church.
Amen.
Bring him to church. You know, in the Bible, when Andrew heard John the Baptist talking about Jesus, and he decided to follow him. You know what he did first? He went and found his brother, Simon Peter, and he brought him to Jesus.
Amen.
Now, what would have happened? What if he hadn't brought Peter to Jesus and just went on and followed him and didn't go first and bring his brother? We don't know. But imagine what might have happened had Andrew not gone and got his brother and brought him to Jesus. Maybe he would have just heard about him some other way, but we don't know. How many of you here today are in church because somebody brought you or invited you?
Amen.
Hey, yeah, raise your hand. How many people are here today because, not necessarily this church, but you came to church because somebody invited you or brought you? I would say probably most people. Most people just didn't decide by. Now, I know people look it up online now, or they look online. It's about the only place you can look. There's no yellow pages anymore. But you didn't fingers didn't do with the walk-in. But maybe you looked it up that way. Some people may come across a good church like that. But most people, it's because they've heard about it from somebody else. They were invited to church by somebody else. And so you can be that somebody else.
Amen.
Amen. So this is the ministry we have been called to as believers, the ministry of reconciliation. And I can't think of a greater honor. That no matter what your occupation is, you still have a ministry. A call on your life is the ministry of reconciliation. And that affects people every single day. This right here, this ministry happening right here, it's only when the church is having a service. But ministry is happening every day in your life, or it could be, if you looked at your life like that. Like, no matter what I'm called, no matter what my profession, school teacher, accountant, teacher, whatever, everybody's got something different in here, but you have another thing riding on you. You have another call riding on you every single day if you would be sensitive to the Holy Spirit about those opportunities. Yeah. Right. Yeah. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. And so what I'd like to do...